A Bright Tide by What Images, read by Jigsaw. Fandom, Fall Out Boy, pairing Patrick Stump / Pete Wentz, rated teen and up. Summary. I'm not skinny dipping, says Patrick obstinately, but he's already taking his glasses off. Pete can work with that. In the faint glow of moonlight and incandescent light bulbs, the white sand of the beach gleams brighter than it should. It looks like an alien landscape, some far-off moon of Jupiter or Saturn, luminescent sand and shifting tides in solitude. Pete leans back on his elbows, feeling a few intrepid grains of sand sneak down the back of his shorts. A couple of days ago, solitude had sounded good, a precious commodity among international flights and festivals and tour buses. But now that he has it, it's just the sound of the waves and a beer that's quickly becoming lukewarm. Patrick didn't invite him in, and Pete hadn't asked, out of pride or some desire not to appear needy. It's personal growth, he thinks, picking at the label of his beer bottle. He's not disappointed. Not really. Their dirty hotel nights are sporadic at best, nothing to count on. Besides, after the jet lag and being piled on top of each other all the time, they could both use the space and the uninterrupted sleep. He finds himself thinking about loss these days. Not in any concrete sense, just an awareness of the possibility, the contingency of the future. Maybe it's the air on the continent. Australia is marked in his mind as a place of breakups and breakdowns and long, arid silences. A place for endings, maybe. Somehow it doesn't terrify him like it used to. Instead, it's a strange little melancholy that creeps in at the edges of things. Like when he looks down into the crowd and knows he'll never see any of these people again, so he grips tight to every offered hand he can reach. Pete shakes his head, as if to dislodge his thoughts, and gets slowly to his feet. His knees crack prodigiously and he winces at the noise, makes a joke to himself about getting old that he's not sure if he means. The light by the bed is on. Through the sliding glass door, the room looks tranquil despite the explosion of his suitcase. He could try to sleep, but he knows instinctively it's a losing proposition and he doesn't feel up to the fight. Instead, he turns to the white expanse of sand, beer bottle dangling from one hand, and embraces a romantic cliché. Maybe it should be sad walking the beach by himself at night, but the murmur of the waves is as good as conversation. The sand shifts under his feet as he walks and he has to work surprisingly hard to stay upright. Like this, it's hard to think too much. He passes out of his own patch of beach and onto someone else's, ducking around the raffia screen like the world's most boring trespasser. The suite is dark, the blinds drawn, and Pete wonders about who's sleeping or fucking or staring at the ceiling in that bed, whether they're happy or sad or missing someone. Maybe it's option 4, all of the above. Another raffia screen and Pete steps into a faint pool of light. He's about to apologize to his fellow insomniac and head back the way he came, when he recognizes the figure sprawled in the chaise lounge, reading by the light of the bedside lamp inside the room. It's Patrick. Of course it is. And maybe that was his plan all along. Hey, he says softly so as not to startle Patrick. Patrick glances up, frowning automatically, but the expression smooths out when he realizes it's Pete. Oh, hey, you're still up. Taking myself for a walk on the beach, Pete says. Am I interrupting? Patrick shakes his head and waves at the end of his chair, folding his legs up so there's room for Pete to sit. Not at all. I'm more staring at the page than actually reading anything, he says, closing the brain that changes itself and tucking it under his chair. That's what you get for trying to read psychology shit, says Pete as he sits down on the end of Patrick's chaise. A few grains of sand cling to Patrick's bare legs. Pete resists the urge to brush them away. It's interesting, protests Patrick faintly. Most of the time, I'm just, you know. He waves his hand vaguely and reaches for the beer in the sand. Jet-lagged and dead on your feet? Patrick shrugs, tapping his beer bottle against his bottom lip. Pete wishes he wouldn't. It's not just that. He's silent for a long moment and Pete thinks maybe he's not going to elaborate, but then he says, it's just surreal, I guess. I don't know. Pete nods. Straya, he says in his best imitation of a local accent. Patrick makes a face. I'm pretty sure if anyone hears you saying that, they'll feed you to the drop bears or whatever. You know drop bears aren't a thing, right? Patrick isn't good at the internet and Pete's concerned about what he might have read. Patrick rolls his eyes. I know that, but hearing people talk about them definitely is. Pete snorts, which is unfortunate because he was sipping his beer and it means he gets lukewarm lager up his nose. Patrick, friend that he is, just watches Pete struggle and cough with an amused expression on his face. If music doesn't work out, I guess I can become a comic, he deadpans. Pete gestures at the private beach, the fancy hotel suite. How much more worked out can you get? He says, as if he doesn't spend half his waking hours inventing new things they need to strive for. Patrick raises an eloquent eyebrow. He's silent for a long moment, and Pete thinks he isn't going to say anything. Then he looks away, something wistful twisting the corner of his mouth. I don't know, he says with a shrug. There's always something, right? Right, Pete says softly. Years and years worth of something they've never quite been able to name, or haven't tried to. It might be foolish, but Pete carefully wraps two fingers around Patrick's ankle. Patrick's eyes flicker back up to Pete's, wide and bright in the dark. What do you think it would take? Pete asks evenly, trying not to weight the question any more than it already is. Patrick stares at him, but he doesn't pull his leg out of Pete's grip. I'm not sure, he says, more thoughtful than anything. I guess I hadn't thought about it, he admits. Well, you should, Pete says. Think about it. Patrick smiles. There's something soft and possible at the corner of his mouth. Okay then. I will. Okay. Pete rubs his thumb over the bone of Patrick's ankle before letting go. There's a clamor of words at the tip of his tongue, but none of them seem quite right for the moment. He glances down the beach instead, at the dark movement of the waves. Look at this picturesque shit. This is unreal. Patrick hums in agreement and shifts on the chaise. His foot brushes against Pete's leg. Come on, we should enjoy it. Let's go swimming, says Pete with the conviction of the inspired. Patrick blinks at him, as if he's trying to gauge the degree to which Pete is bullshitting. What? Come swimming with me, Pete repeats slowly. It'll be fun. It's like the middle of the night, Patrick says, but it's a tone of voice that means he's protesting more because he thinks he should than out of any real reservations. Patrick can be wild when he wants to be, and more often than not, Pete's more excuse than impetus. Yes? Perfect skinny dipping time. The more he thinks about it, the better the idea sounds. I'm not skinny dipping, says Patrick obstinately, but he's already taking his glasses off. Pete can work with that. Pete grins at him and gets to his feet, pulling his shirt over his head and dumping it on the end of the chaise. Perhaps Patrick's eyes flicker over his torso. It's hard to tell in the dark. In the moonlight, Patrick's revealed skin nearly glows as he unbuttons his shirt. Dude, you're like neon, says Pete, undoing his belt. Oh, fuck off, says Patrick, but there's no heat in it. Then he adds, almost under his breath, that can't be news to you. It reminds Pete of all the other times he's seen Patrick naked. Not just unclothed, but bare, his head thrown back in abandon as he panted Pete's name. Pete swallows hard and kicks off his shorts and briefs before he can think too hard about it. He sprints for the water with a laugh that turns almost to a shriek as he plunges into the waist. The water is cold on contact and he immediately regrets the decision to skinny dip. I think my balls are trying to climb into my throat, he says to Patrick. You brought it on yourself, says Patrick, wading in rather more sedately. True to his word, he still has his boxers on. It's not that bad. Patrick's right. After the first shock, the water is more pleasantly cool than cold, and his body is adjusting already. Pete wades in deeper until he can kick off and plunge headfirst into the lapping waves. When he surfaces, salt stinging his eyes, Patrick's right behind him, flipping out of an easy breaststroke to float on his back. In the black water, he's some strange shard of starlight, pale and luminous. "See?" says Pete, floating as best he can. It's mostly lopsided treading water, with his toes dragging against the sand. But it does the job. He can look up and see the brilliant spread of stars above them. "You're acting like you had to drag me in kicking and screaming," says Patrick, flicking water at Pete. "But it is beautiful." The waves hold them gently, and all Pete can feel is the vastness of the sky over them and the sea around them. In all of that space, all those broad stretches of water, they're still close enough to touch, fingertips a bare few inches from naked skin. "The constellations are all different down here," says Pete instead of all the things he wants to. "You spend a lot of time stargazing at home?" "Nah," says Pete. "Light pollution. He's got the sleep habits for it. Maybe he should look into getting a telescope when he gets home. It might make the middle watch of the night less lonely." With his fingertips, Pete traces out invented constellations against the sky. They mostly look like dicks. "Which one is Eridanus, do you think?" Patrick, not one for late-night Wikipedia binges, says, "What?" "It's like some constellation in the southern hemisphere with this huge fucking void in it. Like, no background noise or anything. It's just nothing." "Huh," says Patrick thoughtfully. "You know, if I think about that too hard, it's going to freak me out." "It gets better, actually," Pete says, warming to his subject. "There's, like, the possibility that the void thing is a parallel universe pressing against ours," he says with the authority of someone who has read a single article on the subject at 4 in the morning. Patrick's not overly impressed. "That sounds made up." "Well, yeah, but it was made up by, like, scientists." Patrick chuckles. "Physics is some weird shit." Pete snorts and ends up getting water up his nose. Patrick laughs at him, again. And even though it's dark, Pete knows exactly what his expression is. That exact combination of amused and fun that's well-worn and familiar. Time was it used to edge into exasperation or outright anger, and as easy as Patrick's laughter is, Pete can't forget that it's hard won. It's hard to remember there's anyone else in the world right now. It's only them, two unlikely floating specks in the black. Pete lets it make him brave. "Do you think in that alternate universe or whatever, we're friends?" he says softly. "Well, yeah," says Patrick like it's obvious. "Like, assuming we exist? Yeah. Duh." And Pete wants to ask if he means it. After all the fights and the stupid shit in the distance, if Patrick still thinks they would have made it to this. But maybe the passing years have made him wise, so he takes Patrick's easy confidence for what it is. A gift. An assurance. Patrick pushes his wet hair out of his eyes, falling out of his float to stand in the water. In the dark, Pete can make out the familiar, kind shape of his face, but not his expression. "Or maybe we aren't," says Patrick softly. Pete's stomach lurches. He wants to apologize, but for what he couldn't say. "Maybe we aren't," Patrick continues. "Maybe we're something else." Pete startles so badly he goes under. When he surfaces, coughing, it's with hope buoying his chest even though he's got salt stinging his eyes. He stands, anchoring his toes in the sand so he doesn't fall again. "What?" he manages. Patrick's shadowed profile looks sheepish. "Never mind." Pete reaches out and touches his shoulder. Patrick's skin is wet under his palm and the gesture feels unfairly intimate. "No," he says softly. "What was it?" Patrick's shoulder moves under his hand. "I don't know. In an infinity of parallel universes, maybe there's one where we're, you know, together." "Probably," says Pete slowly. "I mean, or not." Patrick turns so the light from the hotel catches his face. The planes of it Pete can see are bright with embarrassment. Before he can say anything, Pete adds, "It could be this one." Patrick rocks back in surprise. "Oh," he says very softly. Perhaps it should feel more dramatic, but mostly what it feels like is familiar, like waking up at home the first morning after tour, after the first rush of disorientation, the realization you've been here before. "Yeah," Pete says. Patrick shifts under his hand, moving closer by degrees. Still, there's a lingering tension in his shoulders, like he's trying to hold himself back. "I guess mid-tour is kind of a weird time," he says, still so unbearably cautious. "Definitely." Pete slides his hand down Patrick's arm to take his hand under the water. "I was going to, after tour, ask if you wanted to, you know, come over and talk or whatever." "Or whatever," Pete agrees. "That sounds good. We can do that." Patrick tangles their fingers together, and Pete takes the opportunity to pull him a little closer. Close enough so that he can feel the warmth of him in the water. Pete's distantly aware of how naked he is, but the press of their fingers together feels more intimate by far. "We could also do this?" Patrick's smile is brighter than the moon. "Yeah." Pete registers first the warmth of Patrick's chest against his own, then the tightening of Patrick's fingers on his, and finally the press of his mouth. Salt water and sweetness. He sighs into the kiss, opening for Patrick, searching out the heat of his mouth. Patrick's hand on his back anchors him, holds him close. In the water they are strangely weightless, strangely timeless. It's just them, their roaming hands and insistent mouths, their breath passing between them like a tide. It could be 100 years before Patrick pulls back, says, "Let's go inside." It feels for a moment like Pete can see the future. He's going to follow Patrick back up the shore, up the beach and into the shower. He'll lick the salt from Patrick's neck as he comes and they'll curl up together in the pristine hotel bed. Maybe they'll fuck again before they fall asleep, or again in the morning, still kiss drunk and giddy. After tour, he'll go home with Patrick, and he'll say it's only for a little while, but that's going to be a lie and they'll both know it. They'll fight. Maybe about when Patrick's going to tell his mom and when Pete's going to tell the internet. He's going to fall in love with Patrick. And it will surprise him because he thought he was already there. "Yes," Pete murmurs. Beyond that, he can't say. The end. This has been A Bright Tide by What Images, read by Jigsaw. If you enjoyed this story, please consider leaving feedback to the author on archiveofourown.org/works/4528302. Thank you so much for listening. This has been an absolute pleasure to record.